Well, greetings in the name of the Lord. It's a privilege to be here with you tonight. I get to teach you guys the same things that the Lord just taught me in the last few weeks as I studied for this message I'm going to bring to you. And you know, the awesome thing is it's right on the heels of the missions conference that we just had. How many was here? Were here last Sunday? Experienced the man. I remember the. Did you see the people dancing down the aisles? Remember, we always thought, oh my gosh, church, they dance down the aisles. Good thing we didn't have any chandeliers here, you know, who knows what might have happened. But it was a great time, and as I was praying and asking the Lord, you know, who, Lord, in the Bible would you want me to teach on that was a missionary? And the Lord almost like knocked on my head and said, hello, McFly, are you in there, Jeff? They're all missionaries. I mean, think about it. All these guys in the Bible, and if you think about it, everybody that's sitting in a chair tonight are a missionary. I mean, think about it, you guys. Where's our passports? Yeah, we may have an American passport. Some may have, a different country passport. But if you think about it, we're all sojourners here on this earth. This earth is not our home. We're here for but a season. The question is, what are we going to do during that season? What are we going to do for the Lord? Once you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then what? The Bible makes it very clear what. And that is, we're to be busy about the Lord's business. Not for our salvation. Don't get that wrong. Remember, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. We don't do good works to get to heaven. That's already done. Jesus did it on the cross. We do good works because of what he did for us. Amen. And man, I'll tell you, no greater joy in the world. Are you depressed? Are you having a rough time in life? Man, I'll tell you, serve the Lord. And I'm not saying that it's all going to go away, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. I can tell you from experience, your life will never be the same when you're serving. So let's pray for the study tonight. Father, we just come before you right now, and Lord, we just ask right now that you would fill and anoint this place, Lord, your word, that, Lord, it might go out and it might accomplish what you sent it for. And Lord, I'm just excited, Lord, as I've just been diving into this book for a while now, and you've just been teaching me some things, Lord. I pray that you would also teach us tonight, God, what you'd have for us to know. That, Lord, we might become doers of your word and not just hearers only. And we love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to be going through, and I don't panic, we're going to be going through the whole book of Jonah tonight, all four chapters. So we need to get started because if I'm late, Pastor Roy back there will never let me live it down. In fact, he's probably hoping that I'll go over so he'll have something to give me a hard time about. So turn to the book of Jonah, and we're going to read through the book, and then we'll go from there. You know, growing up, we hear about the stories of Jonah and the whale, and I'll tell you what, I never really got from it when I was a child like I do now, because the thing is that once we grow up, we can see things in a different light. I remember my Sunday school teacher teaching me and telling me, yeah, Jeff, you know, you need to go in the right direction. Do the Lord's work. And I did the best I could back then, but there's nothing like growing up and growing in the Lord, and it seems like the more we read, the more that we understand when we read the Bible. So turn to the book of Jonah, and we're going to read through the whole thing. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was tossed about and about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know who caused this trouble and what is this trouble that has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Verse 8, then they said to him, please tell us, for who caused this trouble that has come upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? And so he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest has been caused by me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more and more tempestuous. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O God, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us for innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out unto the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head, and I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed me in forever. Yet you have brought me up my life out of the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah into the dry land. Chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach this message that I tell you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yet, yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from disaster that he had said that he would bring on them, and he didn't do it. Chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not that what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I previously fled to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Now therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than live. And then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what the Lord, what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and he made it come up over Jonah's head that it might give him shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Verse 7, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a venomous wind from the east, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and there's much livestock? Amazing story of Jonah. You know, we always think of Jonah and the whale. Well, the title of my message is Jonah and the Sail. Jonah, God's missionary. If you think about it, the story's really about the direction that Jonah went. Not the right one. Just a few things about the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh is on the east side of the Tigris River. It's the capital of Assyria, and it was a humongous, great city of its time. Maybe like we would think about London, maybe, or the biggest city in the world, Mexico City. In Assyria, Nineveh was it. It was a huge city. Nineveh, just a few facts about Nineveh. It had 1,200 towers that there was a wall built around these towers. The towers were connected by a 100-foot wall. The bottoms of the towers were polished stone. The city was 60 miles around. The top of the wall was wide enough for three chariots to ride side by side. They grew enough corn in Nineveh to feed 600,000 people. And you might say, well, there was only 120,000. But if you think about it, at the end of the verse, and we'll see it at the end of the message, God said there was 120 who couldn't determine their right hand from their left. He's talking about children. There was 120 children. Total in Nineveh, there were 600,000 people. There were magnificent palaces, courtyards inlaid with gold, silver columns at the king's palace. There were rare plants and animals. It was an amazing city. And you know, you guys, I don't know if you've studied, but the Assyrian people were the cruelest people on the earth at that time. Absolutely the cruelest, bar none. They would take fish hooks, we read from historians, and they'd put them, when they would get enough of their enemies together, they'd put the fish hooks into the palates of these guys' mouths, and then they'd hook them all together, and that's how they'd lead them around from one place to another. Absolutely terrible. They would chop off people's noses, their hands, their feet, and leave them to bleed to death. They'd skin people alive and make furniture out of them. Those are the people that we're dealing with here back then. It's no wonder that Jonah says, there is no way I'm going to go there. But look at verses 1 and 2. Look in your Bibles at verses 1 and 2. The word, it says, came to Jonah, and God says, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, cry out against it, for there's wickedness has come out before me. So God says, go, and Jonah goes, no. There's no way I'm going that way, God. There is no way that I'm going to go over there. I hate those people. And so Jonah goes the other way. I wonder if he called him Lord. Did you know that you can't say no, Lord? Did you know that that's an oxymoron? The only way you can talk to the Lord is yes, Lord. Because if you say no, he's not your Lord. You're not trusting him. It's always yes, Lord. Never no, Lord. You can say no, God, but you can't say no, Lord. I guess it'd be like maybe me going to God saying, Jeff, go head off to the Gaza Strip and go preach to the Hamas. Go out there and preach to those guys. And I would think, gosh, Lord, you know, maybe it'd be better, Lord, if you just fried those guys, you know? But that's not the mercy and grace of our God. That's the flesh speaking. God died for those guys too. And we should be praying, God, save them. And Lord, if you don't save them, then you fry them. But no. The thing is that you can imagine how hard it was for Jonah. Here he is. He comes from the Hebrew. He's comes from Israel area. And he's sent to the enemies. And Jonah goes, no. I'm not going. Look at verse 3. But Jonah arose and to flee from to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. So look at how many times Jonah goes down. I mean, he goes down to Joppa, right? And then he goes, the Bible says, he finds a ship. He goes down into the ship. And you think he's done going down? He's not done going down yet. But think about how you would feel if God told you to go and preach to the people, the very people that you hate. What if God preached to those people in Hamas to go preach to the Israelites whom they hate? How hard would that be? In fact, they're in a pretty almost the same exact area over there, pretty close to it. In fact, do we have that slide? Yeah, right there, Joppa. Actually, Joppa right here is about where Tel Aviv is. Tel Aviv is built all around the city of Joppa. So that's where Jonah went down to. He went down to Joppa, and he was supposed to head this way, and Jonah heads this way. Completely 180 degrees off, and I would imagine that probably right around here someplace, he got thrown into the water, and then the fish just boop, and then puked him right up onto the shore. We'll see that in just a minute. Is there another slide? I think there's another slide of the actual layout of Nineveh. Yeah, that's the layout of Nineveh. That's the gates. Each one of these are gates. And that's the walled city of Nineveh, right next to the Tigris River. If the map was better, would be right around here. So anyway, he finds a ship that's going to Tarshish, the other direction. You know, the thing is with Satan. Here it is: when God tells you to do something, you can bet that Satan has another way for you. If he tells you to go get on this boat, you can bet that Satan has one that's going to be sailing in exactly the opposite direction. And I see some of you going like this, because you know what I'm talking about. That's the way it works. God says, do this thing. Satan's always ready to sail you in the opposite direction. The choice is ours. And you'll always have to pay the price. You will pay the price for going against what the Lord has for you. You always will. It may take time. Well, he hasn't caught up with me yet. Hold on. Hang on. He will. I guarantee it. He'll catch up with you. So he goes down into the boat. Look at verse 4. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. So Jonah's going in the wrong direction, and God might have said, you know what, Jonah, I love you, but here's this storm. And you may think, you know, I got some storms going on in my life. I had just prayed with a couple of people right before service. Some major storms are going on in their lives. Storms have gone on in my life. The thing is that are we going to let it make us better, or are the storms in our lives going to cause us to be bitter? God wants them to be better. There's a 100% guarantee that you haven't had any major ones in your life, well, you're probably there's no kids in here under 5, so everybody's had them. And if you haven't, it will happen, because it's the way God shakes up our lives. It's the way that it's the thing that he uses that causes us to fall to our knees. Because many times nobody else can help us but the Lord. He makes sure of that. Why? Because he hates me? No, because he loves you. That's why. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down, here he goes down again, gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Now, you guys, if I'm in this ship and I see this big storm coming up, if the sailors are all, no problem, then I wouldn't be too afraid. But man, it says here in verse 5 that the mariners were afraid. These guys were seasoned sailors. If these guys start getting afraid, I'm going to be panicking. I'm certainly not going to go down into the bottom of the ship and go to sleep. Obviously, Jonah had probably just forsaken it and said, you know what, I'd rather die than go and preach to these people. So he goes down and he's sleeping. He's trying to get away with something. He's trying to hide from God. The thing is that we'll never be able to hide from God. I read, as I was studying, about an English ship that was sailing around Cape Horn in 1870, and the guys mutinied, and they killed the captain. In fact, the captain's name, I think I wrote it down here somewhere. I don't know if it really matters. His name was Frank Shaw. So they killed the captain. They threw him off the ship, and he landed up on an ice shelf, floated up onto an ice shelf. 40 years later, his body was found. They chipped him out of the ice, found out who he was, and wound up finding the guys that killed him, and they all got hung in 1870. 40 years later, you guys, the Bible says that your sin will find you out. You can find that in Numbers 32:23. Your sin is going to find you out. It's just going to take time. Look at verses 6 through 16. Here in verses 6 through 16, it says, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come on, let's cast lots and see who caused this trouble. So they cast lots, found out it was Jonah. And they said to him, what's your occupation? They questioned him. They wanted to know who he was. He says he's a Hebrew. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and says, why have you done this to us? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea may become calm? And Jonah says, you know what, pick me up and throw me in the sea. And these guys didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. They were afraid of the God of Jonah. They had already began to believe in him. And verse 12 says, he says, pick me up. Verse 13, and the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not. For the sea continued to get worse. 14, therefore they cried out to the Lord, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood. So the guys in verse 15, they pick him up and they throw him into the sea. And the sea ceases from raging. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine? Put yourself in these guys' shoes. They're like, no, we know it's you. You said it's you. We can see, obviously, that the we're not going to make it to shore. And you tell us to throw you in, but we don't want to. And as soon as they throw him in, the sea becomes calm. Look at in verse 16. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows. The thing is that our sin, it doesn't just cause us problems. The sin in our lives, if it's unconfessed, now 1 John 1:9 tells us if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that sin, unconfessed, will cause not only you problems, it's going to cause other people problems. Look at the sailors. Look at the problems that Jonah's sin caused these guys. Tremendous problems. The ship was breaking up, for goodness sakes. They're struggling. The thing is that, what is that sin? Is it, fornication? Is it drugs and alcohol? Is it pornography? What's going on in your life that's unconfessed? God would plead with you. He would beg you this evening, confess your sins, because I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, the Lord would say. That's what he wants you to do. You could walk out of here with a clean slate tonight. That's what God wants for your life. He doesn't want you to carry it out of here. You may say, I'll pay the fare. I'll pay the price for my sin. No, you will, but you're going to cause other people also to suffer. Probably the ones that you love the most will suffer. So they're struggling. Verse 12, Jonah says, throw me in, and they throw him in. Look at verse 17. Oh, and verse 16. Look at verse 16, the guys get saved. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice, and took vows. They all became believers. They all became believers. That's amazing. Verse 17, so God prepared a great fish. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So people go, yeah, was it really a whale? Well, who knows? I mean, what else could it have been? Are there fish big enough out there? I guess. But the Greek word is dag, but if you translate it, it means great fish. It could also mean whale. So some don't believe that somebody can get swallowed by a whale. So I did a little research and found that in 1891, a sailing ship, in fact, Google this, if you don't believe it, Google it. It's history. Google Star of the East. That's the name of the ship. These guys were out harpooning one day, and this guy, his name's James Barkley. Google that. James Barkley falls into the water. They're harpooning whales, and he falls in, and he disappears. They couldn't find him. They're looking everywhere. Well, guess what? The next day, they're up on shore, and they're gutting this, skinning this whale, and who pops out? James Barkley plops out of the belly of this whale. He'd been in there overnight. Now, that's a fact. This isn't just a fairy tale. This is real stuff here. This has really happened. That's an amazing thing. Can you imagine being sucked up by a whale? And just the feeling. Close your eyes. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Can you imagine being in there and having, it says, and we're going to read in chapter 2, his prayer that says that the weeds are wrapped around his head. And you imagine there's probably a stench of other fish and stuff in there. Probably got a tail flapping him, slapping him in the face. Can you imagine? I mean, he's not in there. God didn't prepare like a two-bedroom apartment for him in this thing, you know, with running water. I mean, he had running water, but it wasn't clean running water. It certainly wasn't fresh running water. I mean, he's in a tight spot here, this guy. You talk about trials and tribulations. This guy was going through it. Can you imagine what he was going through at that time? Think about it. This could have gone the other way for Jonah. Who knows if he wouldn't? We're going to see him turn and cry out to the Lord in a minute. But if he hadn't, who knows? He could have been rumbling and grumbling in that whale of that belly till they both kicked off. The thing is that, you know, that you think about, you've heard the saying, the same boiling water that hardens the egg, softens the potato. That boiling water that's going on in your life these days, and we all have it. We all got boiling water going on. Not everything's a bed of roses for us. I can just about bet on that. Is it gonna cause you to be hard, or is it gonna soften you? God wants it to soften you up. That's what he wants in your life. But think about Jonah down there. I'm sure it doesn't say in the Bible, but he's probably just complaining and grumbling about going to Nineveh. I don't want to go there. And who knows how long. I mean, he's in there for 3 days. So God must have kept him in there until he finally said, Uncle, or, you know, God, or Father. And then look at verse 2. Chapter 2. Finally, Jonah prays. We already read it. We don't need to read chapter 2 again. It's all about Jonah's prayer. He cried out to the Lord in verse 2. And the Lord heard him. And at the end of chapter 2, verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. So can you imagine the God of the universe controlling this whale? I mean, he probably brought him to just the right spot, got him just close enough so that he didn't like beach himself. And I don't know, maybe he stuck his big God finger down the whale's throat or something. I don't know. But it caused the whale to throw up. And he throws Jonah up onto dry land. Think about it. You know, I know women, when they get an upset stomach, they call it, they just spew. You know, just, but man, when guys get sick, we throw up. It's like blowing chunks. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't mess around. We don't care about sound. We don't care about anything. Can you imagine if you were like walking along the beach, somebody that was walking along the beach and saw this whale? Hey, look, honey, there's a whale coming up there. And all of a sudden the whale comes up and Ralph, it just throws Jonah right up onto the beach. Amazing. Sorry, but I think of these things in my head and it's like, oh my gosh, that would be crazy. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I gave you. You know, verse 1, our God is a God of second chances. Second chances. He's a God of third chances. He's a God of fourth chances. He's an awesome God. Incredibly merciful. Long-suffering, way beyond anything I could ever imagine. We serve an awesome God. Verse 2, he gives the same exact commandment that he had given Jonah in chapter 1. Same commandment. Arise, go to Nineveh, this huge city, and preach the message that I'm going to give you. He says the same thing. And so look at verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. The thing is that it's that one word. The difference between but, which was Jonah's response in chapter 1, but Jonah went to headed for Tarshish. Look at his response now after being beached by this whale. It says, so Jonah did what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, I'd much rather take the easy way out, so to speak, and do it right the first time. You know, years ago, God says, Jeff, go down to Mexico. I got a work for you to do down there. Of course, I was more than willing to go down there. Took quite a while for my wife to believe that that's what the God wanted me to do. In fact, she thought I was manipulating the situation, so to speak, because I love to fish. You guys have probably heard that story. I've told it before of Cabo being the fishing capital of the world and God getting my attention because it was the fishing capital of the world because I love to fish. And so when I told my wife, Kitty, I said, Kitty, I think that God's calling us to go down to Cabo. She was like, what? Yeah, right, Cabo, the fishing capital of the world. Are you kidding me? And but the Lord spoke to her, and we wound up going down there. But what if I would have said, you know what, God, that's not the place I want to go. I'd much rather go to Fiji. It's warmer. It doesn't get as cold in the wintertime down there. Well, you know what? If God wouldn't have sent me, he would have sent somebody. I'm just wondering that if Jonah would have said no, if that would have been another but instead of a so, I wonder if God would have sent another whale to suck him back off the beach. Or maybe, what if he would have sent a camel or something? And the camel would have flipped him up onto his back and squeezed him between the humps or something and took him off to Nineveh. You know, I wonder. I wonder what would have happened if he wouldn't have said, yes, Lord, I will do it. So look at verses 3 through 9. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. So Jonah, he arose and he went to Nineveh, an exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey. Verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said what the Lord told him to say. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The thing is, you guys, is that God loves to use people. He doesn't need us. But he loves to use people. He's going to send a group of 25 of us a week from tomorrow down to Africa, to Mali, West Africa, to serve him down there and to serve the people of Mali and the kids. We're going to be sharing the gospel all over the place. And God's already preparing the people's hearts to hear the message. but he doesn't need us to do it. The thing is that he loves to use us. With all our flaws, he loves to use us. Now, you think, you know, is Jonah a failure? No, he's not a failure. Why? You're going to see in a few minutes what happens by Jonah saying yes to the Lord. Even though God had to chastise him, put him in the belly of a whale, he still used him. So the thing is that don't be afraid to fail, because the only failure is somebody who's never tried. And I'm here to tell you, I've messed up a lot of times. I've failed more times than I want to imagine. In fact, if I told you how many times that I got called into Pastor Jack's office, and it wasn't because, Jeff, you've done a good job, believe me. It was because he had something stern to say about me, because I blew it. I did something stupid. But you know what? It never deterred me. You know, and our pastor is so gracious. You know, he'll pick you up and pat you on the popo, so to speak, and get you back going again. And that's happened a number of times. But you know what? It never caused me to quit. What's going on in your life? Don't quit. What's going on in your life? Trust that the Lord is in control, that he's on the throne, and he's going to get you through that tough situation that you're going through in your life. Everything going great? Awesome. Chances are that there's something going on that you need help with. God wants to be there. He wants to help you. The thing is, like I said, he wants to use us. That most of the time we're in his way, you guys. Most of the time we're in his way. I think of my son, John, when he was young. And I used to go out and mow the lawn. And when he got a little bit bigger, he was like, Dad, I want to help you. And so I got him one of these little plastic lawnmowers, you know. And he's out there helping me. And then he gets a little bit bigger. And I said, okay, well, he goes, Dad, I want to do with the big lawnmower, the one that's got the engine on. I said, all right, John, well, come over here and get between me and the lawnmower and keep your feet out, lean out, and so you don't get hurt. And he's like in my way, and I'm the grass looked terrible because, you know, he's in there, and it took me twice as long. But, you know, when we got back in the house, I'll never forget, and he goes, man, Mom, me and Dad mowed the lawn. I helped Dad. And I go, man, he sure did, Kitty. He helped me. And I was thinking in my head, kid got in my way the whole time. Gosh, I missed a game because of the, you know. And isn't that the way with God? We're in his way most of the time. He can do a much better job without us. But he loves to use people. He loves it. It pleases him to use us. That's an awesome thing. Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And look at Jonah's message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh should perish. Jeff, I don't know how to speak. I can't speak. I can't speak in public. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish. What is that, 8 words? 8 words Jonah uses. 40 days and Nineveh is going to perish. Not very eloquent. I'm sure he didn't spend a lot of time on that message. Message preparation. It's not a 3-point sermon, but he preached the word that God gave him to preach. 8 words. And look what happens. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. They believed in God. That's what it says. It says that he preached this message and they believed in God. 600,000 people believed in God. It says in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. That's amazing. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish. The king says, hey, you guys, we better listen to this message. Yeah, what is it? 40 days and Nineveh shall perish. 600,000 people come to know the Lord. God turned from his wrath just from that message that Jonah spoke. And the thing is that I think, why would they listen to Jonah? Why would they listen to this guy? I think a couple of things. Number one, the message was really simple. It was a really simple message, easy, like the gospel. You ever realize how simple the gospel is? If you're not sure, if you don't know the gospel, go to the call ministry. I think it's Tuesday nights, right? In the call on Tuesday nights? And learn the gospel. It's very simple. Very simple to understand. So he preached a simple message, and then Jonah was beat up. He was beat up. This guy, if you read about him, if you study about him, he was bleached pure white. His hair, his eyebrows, every hair on his body was gone because of the acids in the whale's belly. So he had incredible credibility. He had some incredible credibility. That's what he had. And you think about the things that God allows to go on in our lives, the things that God allowed to go on in my lives. I can minister to people who have gone through the same exact thing that I've gone through. Why? Because I have credibility in their eyes. Because I've done those things. And I don't want to spew my testimony amongst you, because then you'll probably leave. I'll have to put up some guard here so you don't throw tomatoes at me. But I've been through some stuff, you guys, in my life. I haven't always been a pastor. The thing is that I can minister to people who have gone through the same struggles in life that I have because I have credibility. I think Jonah had some major credibility with these guys, and they listened to him because of what he'd been through and probably the way he looked. I would have listened to him. They didn't want to go through the same things that Jonah went through. That's, I believe, why God allows us to go through things in our lives. So that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, God who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which ourselves we are comforted. So we're to give out other people comfort with the same comfort that God gave us when we went through those same things. That's the way God works, you guys. I've seen it over and over in my life. It's amazing. So God turns from his wrath in chapter 3, verse 10. And they turn to the Lord. Look at chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2 in chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said would happen when I was still in my country, and I fled previously to Tarshish? For I know you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Just what he said. And can you imagine? You preach a message, 600,000 people get saved, and you get upset. Can you imagine? Jonah gets mad, it says here. Look at these verses. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Why? Because the people that he hated got saved. Oh my gosh, what a guy. Unbelievable. So he gets all upset, and he says, "God, just kill me. Don't give them any mercy, Lord." But God, again, he loves to show his mercy. Want to be more like God? Show more mercy. Show more mercy to other people. Don't be so quick to criticize. Don't be that finger pointer. Remember, when you're saying you, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. Remember that. Show more mercy to other people. You want mercy? Show more mercy. Be slow to find fault and slow to criticize and slow to become angry. Look at verses 3 and 4. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me than to die than to live." And then the Lord said, "Is it really right, Jonah, for you to be angry?" And you think of the Lord. Jesus became angry. Remember when he was turning over the tables in the temple? And I love, it says in the Bible that he turned the tables over until he came to the table of the doves. And now, I don't know, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I believe God was in such control when he came to the table of the dove. If you guys know anything about birds, if you take a cage of doves and you drop it on the ground, they'll die. Why? Because they go up and then they slam down to the ground, and they're very delicate birds. They'll die. Jesus didn't turn the tables over. When he came to the tables of the doves, he says, "Get these out of here." I believe he was so in control that when he came to the table, he didn't turn it over for a reason. Now, was that the reason? I don't know. That's the way the Lord spoke to me. Our God doesn't say that anger is a sin. It's what you do with your anger. Is it a fleshly anger? Is it an anger a righteous anger? The thing is that this was not a righteous anger. Jonah gets upset. in verses 1 and 2. And he says, take my life, God. Look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. So Jonah's depressed. And instead of discipling the people, can you imagine? Hey, let's get a disciple group together. Come on, you guys, we got to go disciple these. We got 600,000 people to disciple. Let's start a church. No, that's not what Jonah did. He gets depressed and he goes and he sits under a tree. Instead of teaching and disciple the people like we will do when we go to Mali, like we should be doing here when we share with people and they get saved, we're to disciple them. We're to teach them the ways of the Lord. The same things that God teaches us, we're to teach others. Just like now, God taught me these things. We're to teach other people these things. I'm nobody special. I'm just a goofy Italian up here that's just giving you what God told me to give you. Believe me. I'm nobody special. You can ask my wife. I got both my sisters here. They'll tell you about me. I'm not a special guy. God wants to use you just like he uses me. Sign up for a mission trip. Your life boring? You depressed? Come on, let's go. I'll tell you, it's amazing. I could have the missionaries in this audience stand up and give you a testimony, and it'll blow your socks off of what God did with them out on the mission field. But the thing is you don't have to get on a plane to go to the mission field. We don't ever want to be guilty of flying over the mission field to get to it. Our mission field's right through these doors. Read what's above the signs above every door that exits through this building. Through these doors, you enter the mission field. That's what it says. It's right through these doors. The Bible says when we're faithful with the little things, God will give us more. Years ago, God said, Jeff, go to the call. I said, what's that? Go over there. My wife encouraged me to go. I went. I learned the gospel. I went out and started telling people. The more people I told, the more people God sent me. The more people I told, finally he winds up sending me on a mission. My first mission trip was to start a church in Mexico. And when I got back, all I did was went on mission trips after I got back in 1999. That's all I did. Mission trip after mission trip after mission trip. And now God made me the missions pastor of the church. Start with the little things. As God gives you the little things, be faithful with those. God will give you more. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Go for it. God says, come on, let's go. No, God, I don't know, man. I don't know how to speak. Well, what about Jonah? What about Moses? Don't worry about it. God will give you the words. You talk to some of the staff, how nervous and upset and butterflies and everything else I was about to blow chunks back behind the curtain there before I came out here. I'm telling you, Pastor Jack tells us every week, I'm so nervous. Is anybody going to show up? He tells us that. Jack, the people are out there. He gets nervous. I know you'd never believe it. He comes out and God uses him to give incredible messages, but you're always nervous. Pastor Armand, when he comes out to give announcements, he's nervous. The thing is that God calls us to do these things. We're to do them. Do them as the best, very best that we can. So he's depressed. The recipe for depression, remove yourself from people. That's what Jonah did. He removed himself from people. He went out and he sat under a bush. He wanted to see, what's going to happen to all those people now? All those 600,000 saved people, maybe God will change his mind and he'll fry them. You know? That's what he's thinking. Remove yourself from people. Here's a 10-step program to overcome depression. You ready? You can write it down if you want. Probably one of the only original thoughts I've ever had in my entire life. The 10-step recipe, 10-step program to overcome depression. Number one, do something good for somebody else. That's the first thing you do. Go out and do something good and love somebody else. Do something good for them. And then steps 1 through 9, repeat steps 1 9 times. That's what you do. I almost messed it up. Repeat step 1 9 times. Keep doing it. Keep doing good things for people. Bless them. Well, even when they persecute you, bless them, the Bible says in Matthew. That's what you're to do. Minister to someone. Oh, no, that's the pastor's job. The pastors, they go out, they'll minister. They'll tell people about Jesus. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all ministers. We're to do, are we all evangelists? That's not what the Bible says, but it says we're all to do the work of an evangelist. That's what it says. So we're to be out serving the Lord, whether it's changing a baby's diaper or preaching the gospel from the mountaintops. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God as long as you're doing what he tells you to do. Well, I don't know what to do. You know what? That's okay. You know how you find out what the calling is? The Bible says everybody has a calling on their life. You know how you find out what it is? Trial and error. That's how I got in so much trouble, and how much I still get in trouble. Because it's trial and error. God, what do you want me to do? Well, do this. Okay, well, you know what? I ushered in this church when we were over in the other building. I ushered for 8 years in this church. I didn't know what else to do. I knew I had to do something, and so God had me usher. That's what I did, protect the sheep. Watch over you guys. That's what I did for 8 years. And then God sent me to Cabo. I came back. I wound up ushering for a while longer until Jack had other plans. God had other plans for me through my pastor. So, we're almost done. So Jonah's sitting under this lean-to, and he's wondering what's going to happen. Verses 6 through 8, here it is in verse 6. Jonah is happy for the first time. And the Lord God prepared a plant and to come up over Jonah's head. And look, it says Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Finally, the guy has a smile on his face after all this. Can you imagine after what's gone on in his life? The only thing that made him happy was something that happened for him. Something that happened for him. 600,000 people come to know the Lord, and the only thing that makes him happy is his own personal comfort. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord's our strength, and I told you this already. It's no secret. Joy comes by serving the Lord. The greatest joy in my life, yes, I have the most amazing wife. I have great kids. Tremendous joy in my life. But the greatest joy is serving and doing what God tells me to do. It brings incredible joy into your life. You guys, if there's no joy in your life, serve the Lord. He'll bring the joy into your life. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. It's almost like a drug. The more you serve, the more God blesses you, the more you want to serve. Well, there's nothing to do. This church is so big. You know what? There's tons to do. There's tons to do around here. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. You know what a Dead Sea Christian is? Water flowing in from Jerusalem, flows in from the north. It's dead because there's no outlet. God uses our pastor to feed you. Water, the word goes out, feeds you. What do you do with it? Are you stagnant? Are you stagnant? You don't want to become stagnant. You want to serve that flow. You don't want to become a Dead Sea Christian. You want to let it flow out of your lives. Depressed? Go look at a few sunrises and sunsets. What do you like to do? Do that thing. Well, I'm not sure. Go outside. I know for me, I'm a nut, man. When it comes to things outside, I absolutely love the outdoors. Sunrises and sunsets, I see God. I went hiking with my wife the other day, and I picked up these rocks. And she goes, yeah? I go, look at this. It looks awesome. And she says, it's a rock. I said, but look at it. Look at God made this thing. It's amazing. This thing's been around longer than anybody or anything. Look, it's a rock. I see God in rocks, for goodness sakes. Go out and do something. I know our pastor, he loves to water ski. He loves the outdoors also. Pastor Roy, he loves to fish. I catch bigger fish than he does, but he still loves to fish. You know, I got pictures. I could pull them out. Don't make me pull them out, Roy. I have them right here in my Bible. Don't make me pull them out. look at Pastor Armand. He loves to shop. He's a shopper. Pastor Armand loves to shop. It brings him joy. He sees a sale. Awesome. You know? The thing is that find the things that bring you joy in your life that are godly things and go do those things. Spend time with the Lord doing those things. So Jonah gets upset about the plant, and finally God says in verses 9 through 11, God says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry, Jonah, even unto death? It says in verse 11, and should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, which is more than 120,000 kids who cannot discern their right hand from their left and much livestock? Jonah, stop thinking about yourself, Jonah. You got to stop thinking about yourself. He has eye trouble, I call it. I, me, me, me. We need to stop thinking about ourselves. and start thinking about other people. That's what we need to do, you guys. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what we need to do. I love those all-encompassing verses. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. I love that. Everything else. You guys, seek the Lord. Take your eyes off yourself and off the situation. Go get going in the right direction. If you don't, God will get you going in the right direction. We've seen that. Perfect example in Jonah's life. Serve the Lord with everything you got. There's nothing like it, you guys. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for, Lord, how it speaks to us. We thank you, Lord, for these examples, these great examples. Gosh, we could flip open the Bible and read stories of the great prophets of old and what you did in their lives. Look at little David. Look at Moses. We could go on and on. Paul, all these guys. Paul had a pen. Moses had a rod. Little David had a sling. He slayed giants. Little David had a pen. Or Paul had a pen. He wrote the Bible with God. God, you want to use these things in our lives, these gifts that you've given us. And Lord, I pray for each person in here that they would take that gift and that, Lord, they would use it with everything they got for you. Lord, you're coming back soon. Time's short and you're coming back soon. We need to do the work while it's still daytime, because your word tells us night's coming when no man can work. So, Lord, I pray that you would cause the people that are sitting in these chairs tonight to become doers of your word and not just hearers only. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.